Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Thousands of demonstrators call for the resignation of Puerto Rico's governor. We've got the story.
Mother of four is Wichita's latest homicide victim. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
I'm Rodney Price. Sedgwick County commissioners heard a proposal for a group home in the southern part of the county. That story is coming up.
A Kansas state senator is recovering from a fall. I'm Dan O'Neill.
I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday. An excessive heat warning will be in effect today and tomorrow across south central Kansas. But how long will this oppressive heat continue? Our full forecast is on the way.
A Jefferson Parish, Louisiana deputy shot and killed a man while trying to make an arrest Wednesday night. Jefferson Parish Sheriff Job Lapinto.
The subject in this apartment had a gun, ended up pulling the gun on our detectives itself, in which they shot the suspect, who is now dead on the scene.
Police say the suspect was wanted for shooting that killed a college football player and his brother in June.
Protesters in San Juan, Puerto Rico are calling for the governor to resign. They're gathering outside the governor's residence in San Juan and clashing with police late into the night last night, Fox's Jeff Paul reports.
Protesters who were picking up potted trees and trying to make a wall in the street as police are firing tear gas down the street, anything they can pick up to throw down the way to sort of combat what the police are doing with the tear gas. We're smelling it, we're feeling it, and we're tasting the tear gas that's in the air that they continue to shoot to get this crowd to break up. It's really unclear to know who escalated the situation first, but we do know that they had a barrier set up, and once those protesters started crossing the barrier in previous occasions, they would, do something about it.
Demonstrators are calling for the governor's resignation. This concerns corruption charges and cutbacks in services.
29-year-old Victor Castro was arrested in southwest Wichita, charged with the murder of his girlfriend, 25-year-old Elsie Puente. Police officer Charlie Davidson says it happened Tuesday evening in the 3100 block of South Elizabeth. The woman had been shot in the upper body.
A domestic violence disturbance occurred in the residence between Puente and Castro. A firearm was involved in the disturbance, and Puente was shot one time. Officers contacted Castro at the home where he was arrested.
Also in the home, the woman's four children, ages 2, 3, 5, and 8. Those children are now staying with family members. Castro was arrested on charges of second-degree murder and felon in possession of a firearm.
In a hearing that took nearly 3 hours, the Sedgwick County Commission heard a proposal for a conditional use permit to allow a group home near Hayesville.
The applicant, Andrea Henschel, wanted to start a group home for teenage boys in the 8300 block of South Hydraulic. While several people spoke in favor of Henschel and her plan, the commission heard from a number of neighbors against it. Tanya Ridpath spoke passionately about not making changes to our neighborhood.
So I just ask you to please take the time and think about the changes that you're going to make today with this property and what can happen later. Not anything else but what we're here for, rezoning. We're not passing judgment on anybody.
An initial motion to deny the permit, overriding the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission's recommendation, failed. The group then passed a motion to send the issue back to the MAPC for clarification. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
A new initiative is underway in Wichita urging residents to reduce crime in their neighborhoods. Former city council member LaVonta Williams says it's called See Something, Know Something, Say Something. We care. One community, one voice.
When people see a violent crime, when you see violent gunfire, we still do want you to call 911. But there may be somebody in that neighborhood who knows something else. And that's what we're asking people to come forward with.
Roosevelt DeShazer is pastor at Progressive Missionary Baptist Church.
We all share this one voice in this community. So again, we just ask you, if you see something, if you know of something, say something, because we do care about our community. And if you do this, then we can do something.
And that phone number is 519-2282.
The Democrat-controlled House has voted to hold two Trump cabinet officials in contempt of Congress.
The mostly party-line vote holds Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross in contempt for refusing to comply with subpoenas related to an investigation into the 2020 census by Oversight Committee Chairman Elijah Cummings.
There comes a time when the Congress must speak up for the Congress.
Republicans dismissed the contempt resolution as political theater, since a citizenship question at the center of the House investigation will not be added to the 2020 census. It's also unlikely the Justice Department takes up any prosecution of Barr or Ross for contempt. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:05, 5 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Will the good times continue for the Kansas City Royals? We'll have highlights coming up in sports.
A political candidate backtracks after suggesting the office he's running for is a man's job. That story coming up on the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. The KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted at 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. A state senator from Kansas has fractured vertebrae. Well, vacationing in Colorado.
73-year-old Ed Berger, a Hutchinson Republican, is recuperating at a Denver area hospital after falling down steps on July 4th at an Airbnb unit west of Winter Park. He said that his surgery went well and that he's undergoing physical therapy with his family by his side. He's in a brace and is using a walker but expects to walk unaided. He says that he hopes to return to Hutchinson by early next week. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Chevrolet is set to show the world its new Corvette, which will be drastically different from its predecessors.
Chevy won't comment on the record yet, but it unveils its next generation Corvette at 10:30 Eastern Time tonight in Tustin, California, in the resurrection of the Stingray. Various leaks and rumors surrounding the Stingray point to a V8-powered 500-horsepower sports car. GM's confirmed the C8 Corvette will be a mid-engine sports car. The redesigned Stingray in camouflage pattern chauffeured GM CEO Mary Barra through New York City in April. In Chicago, Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
A political candidate is backtracking after suggesting the office he's running for is a man's job.
Malcolm Johnson, who's running for county supervisor in Mississippi, claims he wasn't criticizing all women when he said it's a man's job. Johnson tells a local TV station he's not against women being supervisors and, as he said, not even against women being president of the United States. Johnson is running for Hinds County supervisor. Earlier this year, he told a local radio station community activist Rukia Lumumba needs to learn to be a woman. Lumumba, who was not running, says Johnson's statement perpetuates the idea that women are inferior to men. Lisa LaSera, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We have a traffic accident. This really could slow things down. You'll want to watch out for this one. Westbound Kellogg, and it's at Washington. So watch for a slowdown there. Westbound Kellogg at Washington, a traffic accident. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS is brought to you by Joe Dubrava and Carl's Goodyear Tire. Located downtown at Market and Waterman and online at carlstire.com, your home for complete car care.
And now look at the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. With a warm and humid start to the day, it is going to be sunny and hot with more triple-digit heat expected this afternoon. We should again hit 101 for the high, heat index near 110 with strong south winds. Tonight, clear, our low 79. The excessive heat warning in effect again tomorrow, sunny and 100 for the high. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now partly cloudy, south wind at 15 miles per hour and 80 degrees. Stephen, 10 in the morning now at 8:11 here on this Thursday morning. And talking this morning about the Riverfront Legacy Master Plan. There are some folks who are studying or are getting input on what to do with the riverfront. And we're talking about the Arkansas River, downtown Wichita, and the east bank of the river. With us this morning is Jim Korok, who is the Visit Wichita Board Chair. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Steve.
I presume you're one of the persons that are serving on this committee here, this group, right?
I am. I'm, as you mentioned, the volunteer chair of Visit Wichita this year, and you bet we're excited about everything that's coming up.
How many people are actually involved in this planning that you're doing?
Well, that's the population of Wichita. it's and that's part of this. This is going to be a very transparent process, and you know, we actually have our first open house on July 31st, which is going to be down at the Boathouse. And that's what it's all about, is getting the input of the community. And as John Rolfe, I know, has mentioned before, it's all about the will of the community and what this East Bank is going to look like for generations to come.
And that is from 4:30 to 6:30 on Wednesday the 31st at the Boathouse, right?
You got it.
You got a presentation, brief presentation at 5:15. And so have you had a couple of meetings on this so far? Have you done some groundwork on this?
We have. We've done some groundwork, and certainly in the process of raising money as well. For, of course, there have been several studies throughout the years, and now what we're doing is bringing all of those studies together and getting the input from the community. And finally, we're going to have something in the next 6 months or so, 6 to 8 months, something that's actionable. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the East Bank and the Convention Center and performing arts, but we're going to have something that's actionable that we can talk about and decide what to do moving forward.
Talking about the area between Douglas and U.S. 54, or Kellogg, and east to Main Street from the river then.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Which will include possibly a Century 2 if we're going to retain it, and a convention center and fine arts center. And, you know, as you know, that Century 2 thing, that's kind of a hot potato. I mean, you get a lot of people thinking with some pretty strong feelings about that, right?
Absolutely, and we're anxious to hear everybody's input on it. I can tell you that that's near and dear to my heart. My professional work in Wichita has been as a hotel developer, and have developed a couple of hotels downtown. And it pains me year after year to see these conventions that we've had for years, but now we're going to other cities around us because Century 2 just is not functional for the kind of conventions that people have now. And so it's a hot button for sure, but something needs to happen because we're losing millions of dollars a year in this community because of conventions and meetings that are just passing us by, Steve.
All right, for public input, go to the big meeting there coming up on Wednesday, the 31st, 4:30 to 6:30 at the Wichita Boathouse. And the public can make known what their feelings are. It's a good idea.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Jim, thanks for being with us this morning. Jim Korok, Visit Wichita Board Chair. He's involved in the Riverfront Legacy Project there. 8:14 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. And yesterday we got wind of an FBI investigation. I think the police department is also involved in it. And it was going on yesterday, and there wasn't a lot of news coming out about it. But this morning, with us this morning from Cake TV is Pilar Pedroza. And Pilar, what have you been able to find out? Anything about this thing?
Well, the FBI is staying extremely tight-lipped about this. I mean, they're notorious for not talking about their cases in the first place, but not a huge surprise that they're not talking. At this point, all the FBI is saying is that they had a lawful presence, whatever that means, in multiple locations. Now, we were able to confirm two different locations, one in the east central part of the city, one down in the southwestern part of the city.
Okay.
Southwestern, southeastern, sorry.
Yeah. So when they clam up, you're not going to get them to unclam. I mean, they're not going to say anything.
No, exactly. They've got centuries of experience with this. Come on.
When they get darn good and ready, they're going to tell you something, but not until then. So, So how long did you work on this all day yesterday, Pilar?
Yeah, we were. I mean, we know that they showed up at the scene as early as 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
At one of the locations. The other one, I think, it was about 6 or 6:30.
Were you able to stake them out with a camera and keep an eye on them, or?
We had cameras on the one location pretty much the entire day as soon as we got word that they were out there. So we were out there for Lacey Williams was out there for a morning show, and
yeah.
Then I came in for the day side and took over for her. But so we had that one location staked out throughout the day. That was over by First and Chautauqua.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Down on the southeast side of the city. We didn't find out about, despite all of my efforts, until just after the 6 o'clock.
Well, listen, when you were watching, were they taking out, carrying out any big boxes or anybody in handcuffs or anything like that?
We did not specifically see anybody taken out in handcuffs, although a couple of neighbors said they thought they had.
Oh, okay. All right.
There is that. But saw plenty of stuff being taken out of the house. Trying to identify it, though, next to impossible. It was all boxed up, or if it wasn't boxed, it was in bags. There are a couple of bags that looked like they might have been electronics, but that's pure speculation.
So what? Then after that, after the I left, you went over there and started knocking on doors, right?
Honestly, I didn't really wait for them to leave because we didn't know how long they were going to be there.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks for your help this morning, and good luck to you on this one. Maybe we'll get them unclammed today sometime. Huh?
Yeah. Well, probably not for a couple of months. Is usually the way it goes with these things.
There you go. Thank you, Pilar. Thanks for being with us. Cake TV's Pilar Pedroza this morning. You know, and I wondered about that because the FBI can be, they're just going to shut it up and they're going to say a thing. Like she said, it could be weeks before you find out anything about that, what's going on out there, first in Chautauqua and that other location. 818, make it 819 now. Steve and Ted here on KNSS. And I'll tell you what, Ted, Royals just look like they're going to just go on and win the second half of the season, maybe. I don't know. At least they've won a couple of series, right?
Yeah, they've been able to get some wins put together. The Royals and the White Sox up at Kauffman Stadium last night. Good pitching, good hitting,
yeah,
and it adds up to another win by the Royals. You heard the game on Sports Radio KFH.
Danny Duffy wins tonight, and he did a good job at the other guys, Keller and certainly Sparky last night, really protecting the bullpen. But I can tell you without hesitation that Ned did not want to use Kennedy tonight, but had to. All's well that ends well, I guess. And game didn't have much energy, but the Royals, I think, do that to the White Sox, scoring early, as they've done the last two nights. So now they go for a sweep tomorrow.
They do, and they've received really good starting pitching in this series. The trio of Junis, Sparkman, and Duffy in this series, 3 runs allowed in 22 innings, 3 walks, 23 strikeouts. That is great work. And another nice note, Whit Merrifield extends his hit streak to 15 straight games. The Royals playing very well since the break. They've won 5 of 6, and a lot of it surrounds that great starting pitching.
Yep, 7-5 was the final score last night. By the way, mentioning Whit Merrifield there, 5 times he was on base last night.
Wow.
And that included 3 hits. He leads the major leagues with 128 base hits. And he's batting .410 in the middle of his 15-game hitting streak. The Royals go for a 4-game sweep over the White Sox today, and it's a day game. Be nice and hot up in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium for a 12:15 game this afternoon, and that's on Sports Radio KFH. You can listen on 1240 AM, 97.5 FM for that one. Get a minor league baseball update on former Wichita State Shocker Cody Tyler, pitcher in single-A with San Diego Padres. He worked 2 more scoreless innings yesterday. Pitching for single-A Fort Wayne, he's got a 1.91 earned run average this season. Former Wichita State pitcher Cody Tyler doing well in single-A with the Padres. And another former Shocker pitcher who was just drafted last month, Clayton McGinnis, in rookie ball with the Baltimore Orioles with a scoreless inning yesterday. He has played in 4 games as a professional. He's never allowed a run. 0.00 earned run average.
Pretty good.
Yeah. It's nicely done there for the former Wichita State pitcher Clayton McGinnis, who is in rookie ball with the Baltimore Orioles. Let's take a look at the British Open in golf. The first round just about finishing up over there in Northern Ireland at Royal Portrush in Duluth. In Dunluce, the course, current leader is Shane Lowry, Irish golfer. He is at 4 under par with a 1-stroke lead right now. First round of play goes on at the British Open as the last major golf tournament of the season. And we'll also take a look at the 30th anniversary today of the death of Donnie Moore, who was only 35 when he killed himself 30 years ago today. A guy that played for the Wichita Arrows, pitched for the Arrows back in 1976, 1977, and 1979. He was the number 3 overall pick by the Chicago Cubs in 1973.
Wow.
Drafted behind Dick Ruthven of the Phillies at number 1, won a bunch of big league games. And then Jim Sundberg was the number 2 draft pick that year.
Got a
he had a long
names.
Career in the big leagues. Yep. Donnie Moore was picked 3rd that year. Ended up in the big leagues. had a nice run, 89 career saves, 43 wins. In fact, he was a good hitter, too. He had a .281 batting average as a pitcher.
As a pitcher?
As a lifetime,
wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
But he gave up a key home run. His team, the California Angels, was one pitch away from their first ever World Series in 1986. But Donnie Moore blew it in the ninth inning against a lot of home run to Dave Henderson of the Boston Red Sox. And I don't think Donnie ever quite
got over it.
Mentally recovered from that.
Wow.
He was involved in a domestic violence incident and killed himself. That was 30 years ago on this day. Donnie Moore. At Sports with Steve and Ted, KNSS.
8:22 now. Keep it here for the Hannity Morning Minute. Sean looks at a Robert Mueller assistant's work. That's coming up, Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.